طریقتکا ہے مجموع مدنی مذاکرہ،
ہے مجموع مدنی مذاکرہ،
مذاکرہ. الحمد للہ رب العالمین والصلاة والسلام على سید المرسلین، اما بعد فاعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم، بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. الصلاة والسلام علیک یا رسول اللہ وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. الحمد لله. Tonight is the seventh night of the blessed month of Rabiul Awwal 1441 Hijri. Numerous lovers of Eid-e-Milad-un-Nabi are gathered in the Global Madani Markaz, Faizan-e-Madina, Bab-ul-Madina, Karachi. Madani Muzakara is being conducted. Please ask questions. It's not necessary that I'm able to reply every single question, and that too correctly. If possible, I will try to reply. And if you find me making mistake, then rectify me straight away. You won't find me beating around the bush or sticking to my opinion unnecessarily. Rather, you'll find me correcting myself whilst being grateful to you. Insha'Allah Azza wa Jal.
My name is Arsalan Attari. My question in your court is that if a mother was angry with the son at the time of her passing away, and the son apologized to her, saying, please forgive me, but the mother doesn't forgive him and passes away in that very same state. Now the son is extremely worried and has no peace. So what should he do now so that his mother can get pleased with him? Please guide us in this.
MashaAllah. Congratulations to that son, that he fears the hereafter and Allah Almighty. And this fear will inshaAllah make him succeed. Otherwise, we've heard about some frightening stories, which at times are also published in newspapers, such as children killing their own parents for the sake of money, property. Na'udhu billahi min zalik. What will happen on the judgment day? So, this sense of feeling will, insha'Allah, benefit you. Saying of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, if anyone's parents, both or any one of them have passed away, and he used to disobey them, now he at all times keeps doing istighfar for them, i.e. he keeps supplicating for their forgiveness, to the extent that Allah Almighty writes him down as pious. So you, mashaAllah, even apologized. You perhaps apologized by falling in her feet. So anyhow, Allah knows the reason behind why your mother's heart was so much hurt that she did not forgive you. So anyhow, you should keep supplicating for her forgiveness. Keep conveying her reward abundantly. InshaAllah, due to this, on the judgment day, reconciliation between you both will be made, if Allah wills. InshaAllah, everything will get better. Just don't be heedless from forgiveness supplication. Now keep supplicating for her forgiveness all your life and keep conveying reward to her, inshallah. If Allah's blessed you with wealth, then build a masjid and convey its reward to her. It will be a great means of continuous reward for yourself as well as her. It will be a great act that would reap continuous reward until the day of judgment, as long as it remains, and every masjid remains until the day of judgment. So every masjid is till the judgment day. In fact, it also states that all masajid will go to paradise. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
My question is that, shall we make the intention of salah in Arabic or in English?
Making a verbal intention is not a condition. It's not compulsory. Intention should be in the heart. And when the intention is made in the heart, it will be done so in your mother tongue. So, if one wants to make an intention, it doesn't matter whether he makes it in Urdu, English or whatever language. The main thing to keep in mind is that he does so in the language which he himself understands. However, it should be present in the heart. The intention is in the heart and a person also utters it verbally. This is mustahab, better act. Not uttering intention but having it in the heart would suffice and is also important. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
My question in the court of Amir al-Ahl al-Sunnah is that, can we drink water at makruh time? Some people say that you cannot drink water at makruh time. Please provide guidance for us.
If you're not fasting, then you can drink. Wallahu ta'ala a'lamu wa rasuluhu a'lam. Azza wa jalla wa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.
We've received a text message. It says that prostration is related to earth. But in the winter, people use elevated wooden-made structure where they put their prayer mat and they offer salah, and they do sajda there. Is it permissible to do? What would be the ruling of forehead which should feel hardness of earth in this case?
In regards to this, you're talking about wooden surface for sajda? I've seen whole masjid built with wood. Masjid made of wood. Yes, that's right. And at times they even put it away somewhere else as well, as and when needed. Mainly abroad. I have not seen a wooden masjid in Pakistan. So anyhow, if its feet are placed on the ground, and that wooden surface is also plain, and the forehead gets firmly placed on it, then it's fine. Otherwise, sajda shall not be valid in Fezana Medina either, as this is not ground. The ground is quite far beneath it. This praying hall has been constructed by lifting it quite high from the actual ground. Just mentioning it to explain you. Similarly, Masjid Nabawi ala sahibiha salatu wa salam has also been raised quite high. Its status is although very high, but from construction point of view as well. Few years ago, in fact many years ago, there was digging going on for expansion, and I saw very deep holes dug. And in those massive holes, there were remains of the building, as in they were painted walls, etc. So I thought to myself that a lot of construction work has been done on top of it. It is called passage of time, i.e. events taking place over the passage of time, as in at times windstorm visited the blessed court, and at times a storm came to kiss the blessed court, at times wind presented itself in the blessed court and kissed the green dome, and then soil was also brought for construction work, and this is how construction took place and it became quite elevated. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
My name is Muhammad Abdullah Khan. My question is that many people say to me that we cannot add Abdullah after Muhammad. So I wanted to know whether this is correct or not.
Muhammad, in true sense, is Abdullah, i.e. born man of Allah. So Abdullah means born man of Allah. So Muhammad is the born man of Allah and the chosen one. So there's no harm in saying Muhammad Abdullah. It's absolutely fine. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
My name is Umair Hamza Attari. My question in the court of Amir Ahl Sunnah is, what is the difference between a whisper and a divine inspiration?
A whisper is from the accursed Satan, and a divine inspiration is from angel. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
This is Brother Asad, who is asking a question from Facebook. He is asking that if someone sees snakes around someone's grave, then can it be thought that snakes would also be inside the grave?
Astaghfirullah. How can it be? One shall not have this ill assumption either regarding the grave of any Muslim. So snakes and scorpions can be there for whatever reason.
Rehan is asking a question, but heart fears from death, and everybody knows that one day one has to die. Please guide us in this regard, which could comfort this fearful heart.
If one's aware of it, then he shall fear, and one will feel fear of it only if he's aware of it, otherwise he won't. A child doesn't, he doesn't know. Now there are mature people who are aware of it but still don't feel fear. This is negligence. So one should have the fear for death, meaning he should get worried over the hereafter. One should develop the passion of meeting Allah Almighty, and this is through death. No doubt the soul will depart, but the actual fact is, my death stands in between beholding you.
Actually, it also happens that someone experiences trauma due to severe shock or very upsetting experience, which also sometimes causes psychological damage. For example, if someone had an accident, or he was in ICU, intensive care unit, and when he got saved, he comes out, as he had almost seen death very closely, maybe that's why, he always thinks, I'm going to die any time. This also becomes very challenging for family members. How can family members convince him that you have been given a new life, and you should prepare for the hereafter and live a better life? And how can he come out of this condition? How to deal with such patients?
Well, hardly you will find anyone under this state. Otherwise, normally, they're all heedless. He doesn't know why he fell ill. What was the reason for him being discharged? In fact, when such patients get discharged, people celebrate. Whereas, there's a terminology for this in Urdu language, sambhala lena. As in, at times the patient recovers fully from a critical stage, meaning he becomes perfectly healthy. He freshens up, gets enlivened, then collapses and passes away. He dies. So this is called sambhala lena. He happily comes home from the ICU and passes away at his home. This also happens. So anyhow, death will come to everyone. Death is inevitable. And no one will be left behind. Wise people have admonished you many times, whether you accept or don't, eventually there is death. So one shall fear Allah Almighty in it, and should seek His divine refuge. One should verily fear a bad end. Now these people who get scared, they're psychological patients. Despite feeling fear, they don't come towards piety. They don't come towards praying. They don't come towards following Sharia. Those whose rights are due, they don't have a mindset to fulfill them. Zakah, that is fard. If that's due on them, then they don't have a mindset to pay it off quickly and be relieved of the burden of fulfilling this obligation. Don't leave this world with the burden of hereafter. Try to get them paid here. Pay off all your debts and whatever's due on you.
People are shaken from the shocks of earthquake in the night, but yet masajids are seen empty in Fajr.
Allah.
Earthquake makes them leave their own houses, but unfortunately, they don't turn up in the house of Allah. They come out of their own houses due to fear, but they don't fear Allah Azza wa Jalla and go to the house of Allah.
When the entire life is spent in heedlessness, then what would...
Very well said.
One shock of earthquake do? Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
My question to Amir Ahl Sunnah, Damat Barakatuh Man Aliya, is a person offers salah and commits sins as well. His friend said, do you think Allah Almighty is fool? You commit sins as well as pious deeds. So I wanted to know, how is it for him to utter such a statement?
The statement that he has uttered, the sentence is not a good one. One should refrain from these kind of words. Having said that, there wouldn't be any Shari'i ruling on it because he's not disrespecting Allah Almighty. Ruling of Kufr will not be applied here. However, uttering such sentences contains an element of fearlessness. For me, I can't even gather courage to utter such kind of words. As may Allah forbid, a person may even fall into Kufr whilst uttering these kind of words. However, in the scenario presented in the question, the one who uttered these words, there's no ruling of Kufr on him. But a better approach is to refrain from these kind of words. Wallahu ta'ala a'lamu wa rasuluhu a'lam. Azza wa jalla wa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.
My name is Farhan Attari. My question is that how is it to copy someone, imitate someone's style, copy and mimic the way he speaks? Would this fall under backbiting?
Yes, indeed. If did behind one's back, then it's backbiting and hurting feelings if done on the face. Of course his feelings will get hurt. He won't become overjoyed if someone stutters in his speech or has a very thin voice or whatever. Allah made him. So making fun of him will of course hurt his feelings, which is bigger sin than even backbiting. You know, some people say it's not backbiting. It's true, I can even say it on his face. Then saying on the face is a bigger sin as it will hurt his feelings as well. And backbiting is also sin that leads towards the hellfire. it's haram, so neither should we backbite nor hurt feelings. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.
How is it to pass in front of a praying person? Please pray for my forgiveness without accountability.
It's a sin to pass in front of a praying person, and there have been warnings for this in a hadith, that if a person passing in front of a praying person knew the punishment for this action of his, then he would prefer standing over there for 100 years rather than passing in front of him, as in he would consider it to be lighter to stand there for 100 years instead. Its punishment is so severe that one cannot bear it. Neither can one stand for 100 years. It's basically that severe that standing for 100 years is easier. As in, a person would have preferred to sink inside the ground had he seen its punishment. That's how severe it is. So anyhow, we shall not pass in front of a praying person. If you ever did so, then repent from this action. You don't need to apologize to the person. Repent in the court of Allah Almighty. He accepts one's repentance.
Sometimes it is heard from those people who live in villages, as now we've got some brothers who've come from Balochistan, interior and villages. When they hear such rulings, they say that nobody explains us the way you're doing here. Nobody has told this before to us, that there is any sort of ruling regarding passing in front of a person who's offering salah. We haven't heard this before.
Well, nobody's going to come to your home and tell you about it, or will he? If a person remains in the company of scholars of Ahlul Sunnah, those who are devotees of the Prophet, or if he stays in the company of the devotees of the Prophet in the Madani environment of Da'wat-e-Islami, then he'll learn about these things. Now, if a person keeps watching sinful programs on TV day and night, and stays in the company of heedless friends, and he doesn't offer salah nor keeps fasts, then would a revelation reveal on him for him to learn all this? Or would he acquire this knowledge through divine inspiration? Now, the revelations have stopped. The beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam is the last prophet. If anyone even believes in the possibility of a prophet after him, then he is a disbeliever. The beloved of Allah Almighty is the final prophet. Sayyiduna Isa alayhi salam will definitely come close to the judgment day, but he's not a new prophet. He already came. And he's alive in the heavens. So he'll descend. But he'll not preach Injil, the book that was revealed upon him. Rather, he'll spread the teachings of Quran. He will propagate the religion of the beloved of Allah, the Holy Prophet, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. So anyhow, it is not a valid excuse that no one told us about it. How much efforts did we make to learn? It's all written in the books. Stay attached with the Madani environment of Da'wat-e-Islami. Read books. Study Bahari Shariat. You'll learn it. I sort of know these rulings from last 50 years or so. It was through the study of Bahari Shariat and company of noble and righteous people. So this mindset was developed and I learnt it after studying it. So if we stay in a good company, then we'll inshallah learn everything. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My name is Muhammad Tawqir. I am calling from Nottingham. My question is that the blessed Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam are very dignified, blessed personalities. Is it correct to believe that these blessed personalities cannot commit a sin? Please guide us on this issue. Jazakallahu khairan.
They cannot commit sin. The blessed prophets alayhimus salam do not commit sins. They are infallible. Angels and prophets alayhimus salam are infallible. And besides them, no one else is infallible. However, whomsoever Allah wills for, He Almighty may protect him from sins. So anyhow, the blessed prophets and angels alayhimus salam are infallible. They do not commit sins at all. So hold firm upon this belief that they are infallible. Ma'soom anil isyan, meaning that they're saved from sins and disobeying Allah Almighty. They don't sin. Other than them, the blessed companions are some saints of Allah who have a highly elevated rank. Regarding them, we should believe that if Allah wills, He keeps them safe from sins. So they also stay safe from sins, but the matter of the companions and saints is not like that of the prophets. they can commit a sin. But when it comes to the prophets, they cannot commit a sin. They do not sin. And neither do the angels. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
My question to Amir Rasulullah is that can we perform ablution without being pure?
It's not from his conditions that one should first go to the toilet and then perform ablution. There's nothing like this. So why make life difficult for yourself? It could make you lazy in doing ablution or praying. Then you don't find toilets everywhere the way you would like them to be. A person doesn't stay at home all the time. He also goes out. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
My question to beloved Amir al-Sunnah is that if congregational salah has started, then how is it to perform ablution quickly and run towards the masjid? And also, how is it to drop the water of ablution on the floor of the masjid? Please guide us in this regard.
It is forbidden to run inside masjid. And sprinkling the drops of ablution water onto the floor of masjid is makruh tahrimi, impermissible. It's a sin. So be mindful of this. At times, when people go into sajda, then drops of water also fall from their beards. So the beard should also be properly dried. But it will be sin if it falls on the floor. If there is a prayer mat, let's say, or there's a rug or carpet laid down, if water drops fall on it, that's not a sin. It's written on floor, ground, bare floor.
My question is that how many fasts can we keep in a month and what days are best to keep them in? Jazakallahu khairan.
Allahu ghani. 5 fasts in the year are haram. Eid al-Fitr, that's 1. And 4 days of Eid al-Adha. 10th, 11th, 12th and 13th, Zulhijjah. So fasting on these 5 days is haram. And the one who performs Hajj, a Hajj pilgrim in Ihram, the one who is in Arafat, for him the Sunnah is that he should not keep a fast. The Hajj pilgrim who is in Arafat. Clear? But normally, not everyone is present in Arafat. So these 5 fasts are haram. But not for the one who is in Arafat. But the Sunnah is for him not to keep the fast. Besides these fasts, no other are impermissible. One can keep as many fasts as he wants and whenever he wants. However, there are fasts of the days of bees. Days of bees. Got it? So, it also has virtues. In 1 month, 3 fasts are there. 13th, 14th and 15th, the days of bees. And superior fast is Sawme Dawdi, meaning fasting one day after the other. Isa alayhi salam would keep a fast every 3rd day. And fasting on Monday is a sunnah. So is on Thursday. There are narrations for Wednesday too. And other days like 15th Sha'ban has its own virtues. 27th Rajab al-Murajab has its own virtues. So there are virtues and excellences of different days and occasions as well. To fast in them. To read this in detail, there is one chapter in Faizan-e-Sunnat called Faizan-e-Ramadan. There is a chapter of Nafil fasts in it. So get hold of that book and start reading it. By doing so, inshaAllah Azza wa Jal, your knowledge will increase immensely. InshaAllah. Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
When a person dies, then does Satan accompany him even in his grave after his passing away? Even during the questions and answers of the grave?
Yes, Satan also follows a person in his grave. And when angels ask him, Man Rabbuka? Who's your Lord? Then he points out towards himself and says that, reply to them that, He is my Lord. So whomsoever Allah Almighty helps and showers His mercy upon, he does not accept Satan as his Lord. And he says, Rabbi Allah. Allah is my Lord. That's the reply he gives. May Allah save us from the evil of Satan. even during death throes, the time when soul is being captured, that is very severe moment. Even at that time, he arrives. If mothers pass away, then he'll come as mother, and if fathers pass away, he'll come as father. And he makes his efforts upon him to ensure that he loses his iman. He will try saying that, look at me, I was a Muslim and then passed away, and now I'm facing punishment. I came to know after dying that one shouldn't be Muslim. So and so, religion is right. Mother will come and say, after I died, then I found out that so-and-so religion is the true religion. I'm trapped in punishment now after dying as a Muslim. So this way, Satan will come in the form of his parents and misguide him. So what a time of helplessness it is at that time. People generally don't possess knowledge, and that severe time has not come upon us yet. We haven't faced it yet, so how can we explain it in words? And when that moment comes, we won't be able to explain it in words then. We shall seek well-being from Allah Almighty. We shall seek refuge from Allah Almighty. Ala Hazrat has even written to the extent that the scholars state that the one who during his lifetime doesn't fear for the loss of his iman, then there's a very big risk and danger that at the time of his death, he may lose his iman. So the state is so bad nowadays that no one's bothered about their iman. They have no fear whatsoever that they might lose their iman. They sit in everyone's company. People adopt and sit in the company of ignorant people, company of those who themselves utter the statements of disbelief. They don't care at all that what his beliefs or ideologies are, and just stay in his company. They themselves are not knowledgeable either. So we don't know how many people lose their iman during their lifetime without even realizing. May Allah protect our iman. So kufriya kalimat ke baare mein sawal jawab. Please read this book. There is a lot of information in it, and you'll also develop a mindset to protect your iman. May Allah Almighty protect our iman. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
Well, I think many problems are faced because of unwise use of tongue, unnecessary talks. Some people don't know what they're talking. It's also because of lack of knowledge. And due to lack of knowledge, a person does not know about the Islamic ruling that would apply on the sentence or phrase he has uttered. This is condition of males. Now imagine the condition of females. You can also imagine the condition of those students they are studying in universities or colleges, and of those female students who are studying there. Specifically, I'm talking about those who do not have knowledge about this. So, Amir of Ahl Sunnah, can you please explain the method of reviving one's faith?
Those who are teaching are in an awful state. At many places, professors are atheists. Those who completely deny the existence of a God. They're teaching, and those who are their students, what would happen to their beliefs? It's an awful state. May Allah Almighty protect our iman. And in regards to reviving one's iman, only he will do who realizes this fact that how important it is and understands the element of sensitivity that it contains. Hence, it should be done. So anyhow, one shall keep repenting that, O Allah, if I ever committed kufr, then I repent. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam.
My question in the court of Amir Ahl Sunnah is that the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam used to carry out his blessed chores himself. So, would carrying out every kind of chore yourself be called following Sunnah? Please provide us guidance.
The word every kind would not apply. However, we can say that doing one's own chores himself is a sunnah. Now, carrying out the household chores is also sunnah. This should be said. Wallahu ta'ala a'lamu wa rasooluhu a'lam. Azza wa jalla wa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
I request in the court of Amirul Ahl Sunnah that my daughter is 4 years old and weighs 45 kg. I request for du'as from Amirul Ahl Sunnah, and please also give us a spiritual cure to it as well.
4 years old daughter, 45 kg. She is in quite a difficult situation. her household would also be extremely worried. This is obviously a disease. May Allah Almighty grant her swift and complete recovery, a long, healthy, pious life with well-being all around. May the household also attain peace. My dear son, what you should do is that Suratul Fatiha, recite it 7 times with Durood Sharif once at the beginning and at the end. Then blow on water and make her drink it. This practice is to be done every day. It should be performed continuously for at least 40 days. If you cannot recite it, then someone else should. And recite it correctly. One should know how to recite correctly. So Surah Fatiha is Surah of Shifa, meaning cure. Allah Almighty will help you from the unseen.
Someone is asking a question from Facebook that if any friend makes a mistake and the other says that why do you act like children? Should one say like this?
Now, if he has acted like children and this was conveyed to him with a smile and there is this element of informal friendship between you, then it's not any such thing due to which he becomes angry. If he becomes angry on these small things, then the friendship will not last. There'll be a problem. And if he does mind it, then one shall not say such a thing. The feelings shall not be hurt.
Relating to the same topic, sometimes it happens at home that, like sons and daughters, they're at home, they're doing something or carrying out any activity. When parents observe their children and they see any sort of mistake, then they say, what are you doing? Why are you behaving like a child? Don't act like a child. And they discourage their children like this. While doing this continuously, they actually demoralize their children. This act really discourages them. Now what happens in future, if that child wants to speak something, then he does not speak, he doesn't say. Because he knows that if I say something, then I'll be told off. In fact, parents should encourage their children rather than discouraging them, demoralizing them. They should give them opportunity to speak. The more opportunity you give them to speak, to learn, to experience, the more and better they're going to learn. Otherwise, this term generation gap is quite popular nowadays, which will increase gap between parents and children. Fair enough, if you want to tell somebody to improve their mistakes, you should do by all means, no problem. But not in such a way that you're trying to fix a mistake, but in result of that, you mentally demotivate that child. Remember, if you encourage your child, then, by the will of Allah, he will achieve something big within the parameters of Islam, insha'Allah. What was the name of maternal grandmother of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam?
The blessed name of his blessed grandmother was Barra, i.e. the righteous one. It's written on page number 293 of Fatawa Razaviyah Sharif, volume number 30. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
My question is that if wife and children are angry, then can the father perform the aqiqah of his children while they are angry and do not join in?
He of course can, and in fact he should. He'll be rewarded. And he shall also make efforts to reconcile with wife and children. As in, he should think about those reasons that why are they angry? Is it because of your anger factor that they're angry with you? And if you violated any right in anger, you swore at them or had a go at them, etc., then you need to repent as well as apologize. Yes, there's no harm in it. No harm in apologizing to your wife. You will have to apologize if you have oppressed her. And if she has oppressed you, then she will have to apologize to you as well as repent. So you should involve family members in it in order to resolve these issues between you. And you would have perhaps also tried for this, or whomsoever you asked on behalf of. So I'm just saying that this anger is not good. There's a big loss in it. It creates other evils.
It's Brother Aman who is asking a question. It had become farb upon me to take bath. I did take normal bath, and before doing wudu, I recited Bismillah. And when you recite Bismillah, your body becomes purified, isn't it? Will my salah be valid like this?
If water did not flow on even the edge of one of the strands of the hairs, then the first bath will not be valid. Doesn't matter even if he invokes Bismillah 1,000,000 times. One will have to perform the complete bath. If water didn't flow even on the edge of a strand of a hair. This applies to the hair of the entire body. So based on this, it doesn't matter that which part of the body's hair it is. If that remained dry, or even its edge remained dry, and water did not flow over it, then the bath will not be valid. Similarly, the organs that are washed during ablution, same ruling applies to them, that not even a single hair, in fact, not even the edge of a strand of a hair should remain dry, meaning that it's not sufficient just to moist it. In fact, at least 2 drops of water should flow over it. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله على محمد
وفي خدا عشق مصطفى المعمل لسلاح معاشرة فقه شريعة وطريقة هي مجموع مدني مذاكرة هي مجموع مدني مذاكرة
مذاكرة